So our scripture today is from John. It's chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he'd said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but I believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So I decided to call this message, "How We Are Used." Now the problem is, for us, in the time that we live now, when we say "how we're used," we kind of think of that as negative, that somebody's taking advantage of us. I don't know if that's just me or anybody else felt that way when I read it, that we're being taken advantage of. And so what I'd like to do is go over this and explain what he's really telling the disciples. So there is an upper room when we were in Jerusalem. It is not the original one because it's got the architecture isn't right, but it's supposed to be very similar. So if you think of going up like a half of a floor, not as high as our balcony, but like half that, and it's a large open room, and you have to walk up some steps to go in it. And so you've got the disciples, they're in there, and they're hunkered down, and they're afraid. They don't know if the Roman soldiers are going to come for them. They're afraid that the Jewish leaders might come in for them. And so if you can imagine them all kind of huddled together, being really quiet, because they're afraid the first footsteps they hear are going to be people coming to get them. So I've never been afraid that way. When I think of that, I think of it in terms when Jewish people were hiding in World War II for long periods of times, whether it was in attics or basements, and every creak on the step could be the Germans coming to get them. So they're hypersensitive, listening for everything that can happen, and then suddenly Jesus just appears among the group. And so when he says, "Peace be with you," we think of that just kind of an everyday greeting. So like I might say, "Hi, how are you?" or "Is everything okay?" Those kind of things. But "peace be with you" is a little more than that. It means may God give you every good thing. Doesn't say that you're going to get everything you want. It's that every good thing that is available to you, God can bring to you. So I'm going to go to the end of this first. How many of us here are disciples? Okay, all right, we got that part right. So God tells them that God sent Jesus into the world, and so now he's sending the disciples, and so that's all of us. And so there are things that we have the ability to do, whether we choose to do them or not. And so we become the feet to go out and to disciple the people. And so I was thinking about examples, and so I'm going to use Jeremy up there. Hope he's paying attention to me. And so the youth are, he waves, so he is. So the youth are going to do the meal tonight at Partners Covenant. And they make the meal. They're not going to walk. It's a pretty long walk, but they're going to drive there. And they not only use their hands, but they're also going to serve the people there. And so that would be an example of Jesus using our hands and feet to help people. And if you've never been to a service at Partners, I would suggest you go because most of the people there need help. Some don't, but most do. But that's an example of way that we are used to help other people. I gave blood a couple of weeks ago. The only way that people can have blood when they need it is somebody has to give it. So that requires you to walk, drive, get to where they're taking blood, and be willing to give up an hour of your time and a pint of your blood for somebody else to get it. They did upgrade. They're going to do it a new way that's supposed to be faster. But I still did it the old way. When I do it the new way, I'll let you know to see if it really is faster. Because all that paperwork junk you have to do at the beginning, you're going to be able to do at home, supposedly. We'll see. But that's a way that God can use us to help people. And in that case, we're helping people we don't even know. And when it talks about mouth, it's the way to go out and tell people about the grace and forgiveness that's available through God. Now, the oldest daughter that's an attorney, she's an attorney now she's not a prosecuting attorney anymore. She went to work for I don't even know who she works for, the state of Indiana, we'll say. But when she was a prosecuting attorney, she said that almost every single shooting in Indianapolis is drug-related. Almost every single one. That it's either somebody took something, didn't pay for something, it's almost all drug-related. And so if we take the opportunity that we have to share Christ with others, and even if you only change one person, if you're in your whole life, if you only change one person, and that one person was somebody that was going to end somebody else's life, you have made a huge difference in the world. An unbelievable difference in the world. There was a group in Muncie for a long time. It was called Teamwork for Quality Living. And what they did is they went into the high schools, middle school, high school, found a boy or a girl that didn't have any parents or pretty inactive parents in their life, and they set them up with a mentor. And the whole idea of that mentor was it would get them through high school, because if you come from a family that didn't finish high school, it almost guaranteed that you won't finish high school. And so you just end up with this same loop going over and over, where people are underemployed and then they struggle and they're on welfare and you just keep doing the same thing over and over again. And the whole idea was if you could get those people through high school, what a change in the world it would make. Because you don't just change that one person, but then when they have children, you change what their outcomes, and so it continues to get bigger and bigger. I heard him give the presentation one day, and the person beside me said, you know, the problem I have with this is they can't prove they did any good. Because it's 4 years. I mean, if they started when they're eighth grade, it's 4 years before you know whether they're going to graduate. And did they become the end, or did it just jump back into the same thing again? I said, yeah, but they only have to change one person. If they change one person, think how much it changes the whole entire world all at once. And so for us, we can say, well, I can't change anything about all the shootings that go on, whether they're Muncie or last summer or the summer before when the guy was driving through Selma just shooting at things randomly. But you can change one person. You can reach out. Share the love of God, and if you change one person, you make such a change in all the world. So that's why we have these hands, my big feet, my sometimes big mouth. It's those things that we can do. Now, the church needs Jesus Christ because we need to be sent. Now, I was listening to the radio. I found a new station that has a morning message, and it comes on just the right time for me. And he helped me with my sermon. I always like it when people do that. And so one of the things he talked about, think of your favorite pastor that you either heard, whether it was one time or you heard them because they were at your church for a long time. Your favorite one. Okay? And it doesn't have to be the same one. Everybody's got somebody that for whatever reason they liked better. When he gave you a message, it shouldn't have been his message. It should have been, or her, it should have been the message that came from God, that God helped that pastor come up with that day. And that message comes with the power and authority that Jesus Christ shares among all of us. I've asked you guys before, I hope you do it. I hope you pray periodically, or you can pray every day for me, to make sure that I'm delivering the message that I'm supposed to deliver, that Jesus Christ is inspiring me to deliver. Because I worry about that. I don't want it to be the message of Ed. You can look and look. There's no book of Ed in the Bible. Never, okay? In fact, I don't even think there are any Eds mentioned, okay? Not that I've ever stumbled into. And the reason that we need Jesus' power is that when we're going out and we're talking to people, sometimes we're going to run into somebody that's going to either create doubt in our lives or difficulty in our lives. And when that happens, we need that power that is available through Jesus Christ to get us through those times, whether it's illness or death or sickness. Someone that has the ability, so I've always described it, everybody has somebody in their life that can just come up and just like poke you almost like right in the chest. They don't even have to touch you, but just being around them, they can just irritate you. You need Jesus to get by those people. Or if you're the person, if you're the problem, then you need Jesus to change you. Depends on which side of that fence you're on. And again, you need to make sure the message is from God and not our own message. So I took this scripture from Genesis. It's chapter 2, verses 7. Then the Lord God formed the man from dust from the ground and breathed to his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. And so the reason I picked that out, and he talked about in this scripture that I read from John, is that you need to know that the Holy Spirit is with you. So if you're talking to someone and it's just you and the other person, you're not alone. You're not alone. And so if you are worried about being alone or trying to say something to somebody and you think, well, gosh, I just can't do this by myself, you're never by yourself. That Holy Spirit is always with you. It never leaves you. Now, you might be having a hard time deciding, is this the time I'm supposed to say something versus is this the time I'm not supposed to say something? So I think I told Tim at New Burlington this. So I had a medical procedure where they made me not care what they were doing to me a couple weeks ago, okay? I don't really remember. This was the last thing I remember. The nurse that's there asked me what I did. I said, well, I was a retired banker and now I pastor two churches. She says, what two churches are you at? And I said, Selma Christ in New Burlington. And she says to me, oh, it's the one right across from Masonic Lodge. And I said, yes. Or we like to think the Masonic Lodge is right across the street from the church. And I said, and she says, well, I live right by there. And so I said, well, you know, we're having a special sunrise service on Easter Sunday, and I hope you can attend. And then that was it for me because she gave me more medicine. Okay? Now, I did see my doctor walk in just as we were finishing the conversation, but basically it was just me and her. And she had a lot of control over me over the time because she'd already given me one shot and I was starting to get a little woozy. But when she gave me the second one, I don't remember anything after that. But I do remember telling her that. And so that, I don't know why I felt like she needed to hear that, but I did. I was kind of looking forward to her to see if she would come to the service at New Burlington on Easter Sunday. And there wasn't anybody there I didn't recognize. I might have had to have her go like this, but just the eyes. But we have that opportunity to do that. We don't have to be afraid about sharing because we're never alone. Now, the last part of this, I don't think that we have the ability to forgive sins. We have the ability to forgive people that have done things for us. We have the ability to go ask for forgiveness when we need to be asking for forgiveness. But I think maybe the more important part here is we can help people get to Jesus so that forgiveness can be acknowledged. When somebody does something and they can't forgive themselves for some reason because they think they've been too bad. They were too awful. What they did was too wrong. It still means we can go to the Lord and ask for forgiveness, and it'll be accepted. Now, I've already talked about Thomas a little bit in this. And so I said earlier that I think Thomas gets a hard time because I don't think we're that much different than Thomas. So now I found myself when I watched the news, and I'll use Ukraine and Russia. They're supposedly talking about the same thing, but it's like two different stories. I don't know if you've noticed that. And so I almost find myself every time that one of them says something, I think to myself, I wonder if that's true, because we don't really know. That's kind of what Thomas was doing. They told him a story that even though he had heard Jesus talk about being resurrected and coming back, he didn't believe it, or he wasn't sure. And yet we kind of, you know, we named the whole thing Doubting Thomas. I mean, that's something you don't hear as much as you used to, but it comes out every once in a while because he doubted. In some ways, I wonder if he was just more honest than the rest of them. The other ones all got to see Jesus that day. I think the thing, though, that's more important in this scripture is that Thomas is not with them. And it probably means that Thomas was sad and distraught, and he kind of ran away from the group. He made a decision that he didn't want to be with them for whatever reason. And I bet we've all known people when something happened in their lives that distressed them, loss of loved ones, illness or whatever, they did the same thing Thomas did, where they kind of just wanted to be by themselves. They didn't want to have anyone else around them. They didn't want anyone to talk to them. And so I've told you guys this before, but sometimes you'll see somebody and you know they're distressed and you ask them, hey, is everything okay? Annie, I'm gonna pick on you. Hey, Annie, is everything okay today? And she goes, yeah, but you can tell that it's not okay. Where we have to be brave to know that Jesus is always with us is to say, are you sure? Because you seem like you're a little distressed. Because a lot of times what we do, if you really want to be alone, you don't want to talk about what's bothering you, and somebody says, is everything okay? What do you guys say? Yeah, everything's fine. Because then you're hoping that whoever's talking to you walks along because you don't want to talk about it. And so I think in this instance, Thomas kind of running off by himself, not being with the rest of the group, that might be the more important lesson here. And so for us, when we have those things that are bothering us, find somebody to talk to. Find someone that you can share with that will keep that confidence to themselves. Now, the hardest part is sometimes you have to help the person help themselves. So I had a friend, his wife had died, they'd been married a long time. And when you would talk to him, he would say, everything's okay. Except every time we were supposed to get together or have a meeting, talk, he never got there when he was supposed to. And that was exactly opposite of him. And he was short with people. He would just snap for really no reason. And so I had to reach out to a friend of mine and said, hey, I need to find somebody that he can talk to that's a professional, help talk a person through this issue. And that person said, oh, you're talking about, and she named him. And I said, yeah. She said, I've experienced the same thing. And she gave me two people for him to talk to. So I went back to him, and it's not easy to go back and tell somebody you think there's a problem when they're telling you there's not a problem. So I went back to him. I said, hey, I don't know what's going on with you exactly, and you keep telling me you're all right, but you're not all right. Here's two people you need to call on. I'm okay. You're not okay. You can keep telling yourself you're okay, but you're not okay. I go, here's what I see. Here's what I've heard. Is that the way you would have been before she passed away? And he said, well, no, but okay, and the butt right there tells you there's a problem. And I said, it's not, I can't fix it. I don't know how to do this. It's not something I can guide you with, but I can help you get to the right person. That's what we're supposed to do every day. Help people get to the right person. If they don't know the Lord, we need to help them get to the Lord. If they know the Lord, but they're having issues, we need to help them get to the person that can help them. So I haven't given you guys homework for a long time, at least 3 or 4 weeks that I remember. So this is one of those things that when you see somebody in need, get them to where they need to go. Become the hands and the feet and the mouth of the Lord to do what needs to be done, whether it's family or friends or somebody you met for the first time. Often when somebody's having issues, It's easier for them to talk to somebody they don't know very well as it is for them to talk to someone they've known their whole life. Amen? Amen. Father, we're so grateful that we were able to come together this day and you've made disciples of all of us. Let us take your word out into the world to share all the good news with all those that we come in contact with each and every time. Amen.